best sports team in the country. Get interactive with us across all social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 3SportsGH.
Welcome back from the break. This is Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. My name is Kelvin Olsons. I'm here with Billy Shen, Epson, and then Orekwu Ampofo. Bill just finished the submission on David Odoro. Epson and Orekwu had their bet on it. Let me start with Epson because...
Yeah, but Kelvin, if you look at David Odoro, I just feel this is a very promising talent.
Yeah.
And looking at Barcelona right now and the financial situation at the club, I just thought this is the perfect opportunity for any youngster to break into the first team. And you've seen how Gavi, Baldi, all these boys, even recently Bernal, who has taught his ACL, all these boys have broken into the first team. If you look at David Odoro, I think he has similarities with Alphonso Davies.
Yeah.
And you can also even say he has similarities to Baldi.
Yeah.
So I feel this is the perfect opportunity for him. If he goes to the Barca Athletic and he plays at a very high level, trust me, he's going to make his Barcelona debut this season. So he deserves it. If he plays very well at a very high level, they will trust him and play him in a competitive game.
Orekwu, if you are not going that side, I'm taking you to Afnajan and then Abdul Salih Samet. How would their moves, you know, help them? What do you make of those moves to Juventus, Fortuna, and then
Juventus Nezin,
and then and then Sunderland for Salih Samet?
Is there anything like a Serie D?
No, but let me say this before
a Serie D. Yeah, I think there is.
Let me say this thing before.
Serie D. Yes.
Before you know, when I saw the Afenajan story,
yeah,
I just quickly did a Google search. So when I did a Google search, I first three results was an article Riku had written. I just saw the article and I laughed. It was something about Afenajan from a promising career I was like, yo. Yeah.
Well, a promising career that he has, but it's going to be one of those.
I think it was the rise and fall of
Afenajan.
Okay.
It's like, no. we wish him well.
Well, we are wishing Felix Afenajan well, but ura.
Yeah, I just checked. Serie D is the highest form of semi-professional football.
Mm-hmm.
Serie D. Okay. Serie D is the highest form of
semi-professional.
The reason why I asked, just 2.5 years ago, Afenajan was Serie A.
Yes.
Last year, Serie B.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's at Serie C.
Hey.
I think you understand where I'm going.
Yeah.
After Serie D, what next?
I'm very serious in the sense that
futsal.
In the sense that, look, I just want to paint a picture with how drastic football is as a sport.
Yeah.
In the space of 1 year.
Ruthless.
Yeah. In the space of 1 year, we saw this guy move from playing amateur football up the north here in Ghana.
Yeah.
And went all the way to Italy, Primavera, youth football.
Under-19 league.
And then under-19, I think under-18, went to under-19, and then Roma first team. You saw how quickly that happened. Amateur, under 19, first team. Look at it in the reverse. Now he's moving from Serie B to Serie C. The same way you climb up is the same way you can come down.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to understand this. There is nothing that's given. The fact that you sign a contract doesn't mean anything. Cremonese decided that you're not as good as we thought, or you're not pulling your weight until you're out of the squad.
Yeah.
That means that essentially you are out, although you have a contract. And so he needs to keep this in his head that I think, honestly, this is his last chance at gain. I said it and people thought I was ruthless in that article.
Yeah.
But genuinely, he has a good agent and he's found a way to get him something good, a fresh start, albeit it's one step backwards and he has to now go back to Serie C. I think it's his age bracket.
Yeah.
Next gen is young players.
Yeah.
He would have that chance to build his confidence again. He needs to take this with both hands. Both hands. Because after this, I just cannot tell what is next. And that is
so,
the fear.
Oruk, let me ask. Yeah. Would you say his development was rushed? Because I'm looking at the manager. Let's look at AS Roma.
Yeah.
Because he was at the 19th team. Mm-hmm. He was playing in, and all of a sudden he got promoted.
Yeah.
Was with Jose Mourinho and he scored 2 goals. Remember that?
Yeah,
two goals?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even at the time when he scored the 2 goals, remember Blasters wanted to take him to the AFCON in 2021, but Mourinho insisted the boy wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So what happened for Roma to all of a sudden give him a contract extension, and then Cremonese came from nowhere, 6 million euros? Do you think his development was right?
Because yeah, I think
yeah, it's one of the there's a reason why a lot of top coaches, even Mourinho and then Pep Guardiola, always want to take their time with young players, because young players are volatile.
Yeah,
they don't have that presence of mind to say that, oh, okay, now I'm a superstar, I need to think twice about some decisions, I need to do X, Y, Z, because I'm playing with people who are 25, 26, I'm no longer under 18. Mm-hmm. They need to be eased into it. It's the reason why Foden is the best example of this. Sure, yeah. Guardiola could have played him consistently, but there's a reason why he made him feel like he earned it. And when he finally got to the pinnacle, we saw how good he was, winning best player in England, in the league and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think for Afena, maybe someone should have sat him down and made him understand that you've taken about 10, 15 steps faster than you should have.
Sure.
And so your brain, your maturity should also catch up. Because remember when he was at Roma, he had a disciplinary issue where I think he went to party out at night and then Mourinho caught him and they suspended him for a couple of games and then they brought him back and all of that. I don't know what else we don't know, but judging from that, maybe his head wasn't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel he should have been going back and forth with the Roma U team and then senior team, just like how they do at Barcelona.
Yeah, but
so that it's not too fast for him.
I think people are also sort of blaming Ghana.
No, I don't think
the boy well.
I don't think Ghana has
leaving him out of the World Cup.
But don't you think that treatment was a bit disappointing?
Especially
for a player who was struggling then.
That answers your question. You were struggling. We can't go to a tournament with players who are struggling.
Because you see the
World Cup.
The thing, unless you went to promise him that regardless of what happens, we will take you to the World Cup. That's the only way he'll be broken. Because I don't understand how when you play for Blasters in March, from March to the World Cup in November,
you're out of the
team. A lot of things can change. You can be in a team, you can be out. So if you're out and you are not even playing consistently too, it's not like he was scoring 10, 15 goals and people said they wanted
him. But even before the Nigerian game, he wasn't a player who was playing consistently. Yeah. But you trusted him.
Yeah, but we're desperate.
Gave him the faith.
Exactly, that's why, and then in July, Inaki, them skip, so now we have strikers, so you have to show us, you have to come to competition, it goes back to your ruthless football, I
quite remember there was a point right after Ghana secured the World Cup qualification.
Yes,
there was one video at Roma's training, they were teasing him about Black Stars going to the World Cup. I think it was all playing in his mind that for sure, I'm going to get that place in that World Cup. See, because to call somebody who was just about 18 at the time, at one of the most crucial games before the World Cup, and he got to play, of course, in his mind.
And he excelled.
And he, of course, in his mind, he'll be like,
Rashford, what did Rashford and Sterling not do for England in the qualifiers?
I think it's football. If you had taken to the World Cup, wouldn't have ended up at Juventus Nation.
Oh, he could have.
But then again,
psychologically, it could have affected him.
Okay.
It could have.
Yeah, okay. That's also
because,
a good point.
Because they were teasing him and all of that in Roma. That, Black Stars, you're going to World Cup and all of that.
Does it also say a lot about how our national team players, the focus on them or helping them develop or making right decisions? Have we fallen off that as a nation?
I think so. Someone like Afena should have been instated from the youth side of our national team.
He got called out for the under 23.
I think with such players,
you know, the difficulty is that Efsin, let's be honest, if I start by, you're a journalist, you finish school, and then I take you to the biggest media house in Ghana.
I know, unfortunately, I have to take you back to
Oreku,
you've seen so many examples.
Okay. It will mess
and
up your
one
head.
Of the examples is Andre Ayew. Andre Ayew made his Blaster debut at the age of 17. He played at AFCON.
AFCON, 2008.
Yeah. But in 2009, when the under-20 needed him, he came. He showed up. And we've seen the brilliant career he's had. Another recent example is Fatao Isaac.
We are all
proud of him.
Yeah.
We took him to the Blaster at the age of 17 or so.
Yes,
also. But he came back to the 23. You've seen the progress he's made at Leicester City and playing the Premier League and all that.
I just feel when you play the senior team
and you come back, it's not the end of the world.
But I think there's one thing that I think happened that we could have helped Afnah. He felt, I think at that time, he felt he was big, just like Andre felt he was big in 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do? You make him the captain of the team to put some sort of responsibility on him.
I mean,
and when he comes...
I'm 23.
No, I mean, captain. He's not captain material.
He may not be.
What we are not saying is that this boy has two senior career goals. Two. Not two. So what are we talking about? Like, this guy is some savior, and then we have to take him to World Cup for scoring two goals.
It's okay. Let's get into the issue of the Black Stars.
This is Three Sports, the best sports team in the country. Get interactive with us across all social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Three Sports GH.
Well, it's still Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. Let's get into the Black Stars. Well, before we wrap up, I'll be giving you, you know, the results from some of the games that were played over the weekend. But Otado's scored for the African Nations Cup qualifiers. Three goalkeepers, Atizigi, Jojo Wollacott, Frederick Asari of Asante Kotoko. People had issues with Frederick Asari's scorer, but it almost ended a fight at the press conference room between Otado and one journalist. But Alidu Seidu in defense, Tariq Lamptey, Jiku, who has been replaced. There is Abdul Mumen, there is Salisu, Jeremy Poku, Ibenizan, and Kingsley Schindler. In midfield, there is Mohamed Kudus, Abu Francis, Thomas Partey, Elisha Uzu, Majid Ashmeru. In attack, there is Fatai Chahaku, Joseph Pinsel, Ibrahim Osman, Antoine Semenyo, Inyaki Williams, Brandon Thomas Asante, and then Jordan Ayew. Bill, this is the squad. Are you okay with it? Which players do you think could have been in, and what do you make of this? You know, these two games that will be coming up with focus on Angola.
Not surprised by the squad. I am particularly happy with Joseph Pinto's exclusion because inclusion.
You know, Ghana squad, they can remove you and add you.
Inclusion.
That's the administration.
Inclusion because there was a huge question mark on him. Mm-hmm. We remember right before the World Cup, when the squad came and the whole issue that came with him, that he had like a sort of phone call with Otto and Otto didn't give him like a sound enough explanation, and he blew up in the media, and he gave a sense that if Otto gets the chance to come back to the job, he will be the first man out.
Okay.
So
and in the first two call-ups, he didn't invite Mozo.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
And the truth is, the only reason why he's here is because Nyama and Kamau did not hit.
Oh, Jesus.
So you there, let him take
so
it.
It's clear.
I don't think you play.
Well. But again,
but it's good. Happy he's back.
Oh, but it's good to see him because again, in the AFCON, he was one of our brightest lights. If I'm being honest, the AFCON 2023, and not fatigued. He wasn't fatigued, but he was ticking off.
You two has had issues with coaches.
What fatigue?
He wasn't fatigued, but he was taking off.
Crazy routine. Crazy routine.
So on his bits, I think it's good, and again, Andrea used exclusion. It's giving hints that it looks like Capito has to sit back for quite a long time or might not come back to the squad. Unless something crazy happens with him joining a good team, scoring a number of goals, you know, and then sort of proving himself. But apart from that, you know, Otto was sort of firm that he's looking at the next AFCON, the next World Cup, and he's trying to build a squad for that. And so probably Andrea, you wouldn't be a type of player you'd be looking at when you're going to such tournaments right now, considering what we've seen recently.
Yeah.
Even under Chris Hughting, he barely played.
Mm-hmm.
Comoros, that's when you got a chance for an extended period. And then even with that, we were defeated. AFCON 2, he was brought in for not fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a draw and go out.
In our friendlies, he did seem.
Yeah, again. So... I think his exclusion, not surprising, but is also an indication that probably he might never step foot in the Black Stars. Let's now start having that kind of thought. And I think he should also be thinking that way, that it's going to be difficult at this point. Because again, there was a point where I made a point about now where he plays. He started as a right winger. Right now, we are stuck there. He can't run. we have to be honest with ourselves. He can't run enough. We are stacked over there.
Yeah.
If you want to put him at number 10, he can't create.
Okay.
Kudus does better anyway there. So I think right now he just should look elsewhere and then just be focusing on club football.
All right.
So Kelvin, what is stopping Otuadu from coming out and saying, okay, Andre Ayew?
Do you want to listen to what he said? Let's all listen.
Also for that, so we're looking 1-3 years ahead, and we have to build a squad for that. And I don't want to repeat myself. And I said it the last time. The reasons why we choose some maybe younger players or some other players to come into the squad, and we're building up. And I think we did quite well the last time, even though it was very, very tough. And I know. The next games are even going to be tougher because everybody expects us to win. It's going to be tough, and we might also get some knockbacks, but this is the way it is in football, and we're looking a little bit longer. We're looking for long-term development, and that's why we decided also last time not to invite Andre.
This is 3Sports.
How long is the sound?
What's your problem?
How long is the sound? 1 minute of what? Yeah, 1 minute of what
is a minute?
Oh, but you should be able to understand what he's saying. He's telling you in a very diplomatic way.
Yeah, in the long term, he wants to build a youthful squad.
See,
he's looking at next year.
I just see. If you are not going to call the guy, just say it.
Oh no, I don't think he's in his place to say it to. Andre has to say it that I've retired. Because once a player hasn't retired, you can't completely rule him out of the national team.
The best the coach can do is, you don't fit my plan, so I'm not calling you.
But he hasn't said it.
No, but I don't think you can say that's a national team coach.
There's some quotes going around saying,
but 3 German players were taken off completely. You remember?
Didn't Joachim Löw say he doesn't want to use Müller and Kwe?
He said Müller,
Jerome Boateng, and one other player.
Yeah, he did say.
Ramos. Yeah, he said
something like that. If you're not going to call
Andrea,
I understand.
Yes,
But I saw some quotes that is giving him conditions if he goes to a club that he plays and scores 20 goals.
So, if Andre gets a team right now and he's on some devastating form and scoring better,
what is the meaning of the last call up?
Kelvin,
he's just tearing apart defenses.
Kelvin, the last call up for the Mali Central African Republic. Andre was on form. He was playing for Le Havre, and he was on form.
Yes.
So what was the reason he didn't call him? The coach only came out to say he had a meeting with the player, and he explained to him why he's not going to call, and Andre wasn't happy. Of course, he was not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because if at the time of the call-up, he was playing in the French league and scoring goals, and he didn't call him. Right now that he doesn't have a club, we all expected him not to be called. But if you're not going to use Andre again, just tell him. Tell him, okay.
I think Andre, he has told Andre. Andre probably knows.
Andre, I'm not going to use you again. And don't forget, Otuado has signed like a 5-year contract or so.
Yeah, essentially.
So if he's not going to use Andre again, if Otto is no more, if Otto finishes his 5-year contract or so, Andre will be like 35. 39 at that time.
Yes. Like, oh, you
zero.
Come back.
Zero now.
So I'm just saying, if you're not going to use Andre again, tell him.
Now then we'll have a nice ceremony
for him.
Oh, you think?
Tamale. Go to Tamale.
Invite
all the chiefs
I
there.
I think Andre knows.
Andre knows.
So, Andre is the one who has to tell us.
This thing has been going on for a long time. Just look at how we removed Asamoah from the Blasters.
Yes.
Nobody came out to say anything. All of a sudden, Andre, Asamoah was not being called. And even at the presser during the week, do you know what Otuado said?
He said
he was hoping for an injury-free Thomas Partey to be part of the Blasters. But if Partey is not available, he's going to count on...
So that was based on the question we asked him.
He's going to count on Djiku
and Kudus. I asked that question.
Djiku and Kudus for leadership.
And Salisu, please.
He said...
Yes. And Salisu. Yeah.
Kudus. Djiku and Kudus.
Djiku is not available.
How old is Kudus now? Kudus is 23. And Kudus has been playing for the Blasters since 2019.
Yes. Martin Odegaard, captain there.
So my point is clearly.
He's just moving away.
They are moving on from Andre. But just come out and say it.
But okay. You know me, I have one issue.
Orego, I'm so sorry that when it gets to you, we have to go for.
No, but why didn't Otto mention Jordan? Are you in the captain?
It's okay. We're dealing with the Black Stars. Efsen had his say on Otuado. He should come out and tell us that Andre is not part of this plan.
Simple and nice. Yes. Fair. All right. Simple and nice.
All right, Orego, you had issues with the list of the players who are going to lead the team.
Yeah. You know, it's been 3 years since we officially announced our captains, Andre, Pate, Richard Ofori. Mm-hmm. Now there's no Andre, there's no Richard Ofori. So I was just curious as a journalist that Pate, what if he's not able to play 90 minutes?
Yes.
Or, I mean, Pate is undergoing load management. He's already played the first three games of the season. So it might not be prudent to play him full time in the games against Angola and Niger. So in case Pate is not there, who will be the captain? The coach was asked. The coach had an option of saying that, look, it's not something that we've thought about in this moment, and it's something that they're working on. But in the interim, Pate is the main captain. They'll sort that out in a team meeting. But he first of all started by saying that he hopes Pate doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And in the scenario that he has to replace him, he has abled, experienced players. He starts, same list I'm giving you. I don't know whether it's in order. I'm just saying how he said it. Jiku, Alexander Jiku, Mohamed Salisu, Kudus before Salisu. So Jiku, Kudus, Salisu. So now that Jiku is not around, are we safe to assume
Kudus
that it's Kudus who's the vice and Salisu who is the first vice or second vice or second assistant captain? But I mean, I think the bigger conversation is, where is Jordan Ayew? To you, it may be a small matter that, oh, maybe you skip the coach or whatever, but Jordan is the most experienced player in the team by far.
Yeah, true.
By far.
I think one thing we should also
look at number of AFCONs and
I think one thing we should also ask Otuado is he going by the principle of the oldest player or the long term seven player
I think we need to know this.
No, Otuado keeps mentioning he's building a team. And I think one key thing about building a team is your leadership should be stable. Like, you should know your leaders.
You
should know your leaders of the team, because as a coach, you don't know who's going to be the vice captain. It's a problem.
Maybe he wants to do a rotation model like what City do. Every season they change it around.
For the players.
Or maybe you allow the players to vote. I don't know what it is, but I thought Jordan's name would be there.
We need clarity on
that. I think we need Jordan. Because Jordan was the captain for the friendlies against Nigeria and Uganda.
Yes.
And then when his brother came on, he handed it to him.
Exactly.
So that's what we thought.
I'm sure it may be an oversight.
Yeah, it could be an oversight.
Yeah, because it could also be his plan.
Because when Jordan was playing for national team, some of them were now dreaming of playing for national team.
Or maybe they are trying to protect
some of the names that they played. They mentioned,
because if they give him the captain ban,
we would date top.
How on today?
I honestly thought Jordan was being prepped for the captaincy, because in the last year he's had a lot of media duties.
Yeah.
When Andre wasn't available, I think during the World Cup qualifier for Madagascar, I think one of those.
The one that the red card affected from the AFCON.
No. There was some game right after the AFCON wasn't available. Chris Hutton's time. Pate wasn't available, Andre didn't start, and I think Amate was the captain also.
But
Amate is no longer part of the team. I don't know. Amate, is he?
So he was part of the Andre question. Amate was part of the Andre question. So it's the same answer he gave for those two.
If Amate pushes him to come back, yes, he would. I don't think he needs to give. It's not a mutually exclusive thing where he needs to say, Amate and Andre are part of my team or are not part of my team.
Your performance, will tell.
But you see, as I said, the June collapse that he didn't invite Andre, that was unfair. And I feel with that, he's not going to call Andre again.
So he should just come out and say,
okay.
It's like Southgate and Ben White. Okay. We never know what went wrong.
Okay, exactly. Ghanaians. I'm not going to call Andre again. I just want Andre's time with the national team is over. Let's do a nice tribute to three sports Oracle 1 minute video.
All right, let's focus on the game. Do we stand a very good chance? We've seen pictures of the Barbara Sports Stadium even today.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bill as he posted on the 3 Sports GH handles. I think it's getting better. We don't know how the texture is like, but
see, this country,
let's focus on the game, looking at the strength of both teams. Are we going to struggle the same thing as we did in the World Cup qualifiers, or you think this is going to be different?
Well, last time Ghana played a football match is a very long time ago. But let me remind you that we conceded 3 goals at home to Central African Republic.
Hey.
three goals. Before that, we played against Mali, where they scored us, and then we had to come from behind to win 2-1.
Yeah.
But even in that game, we conceded enough chances to lose. So, off the top of my head, defensively, we need to improve. Conceding three goals against Central African Republic is just too much. And Angola has showed their quality, especially in attack during the AFCON. Epson mentioned a very fearsome name, Mabululu.
Yeah.
When that guy is running at you, he is coming.
Okay.
This is a very young, youthful, energetic Angola side who are very driven. Reach the quarterfinals of the AFCON, only to be knocked out by Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a one-goal margin. And I think that they would pose a lot of challenges for Ghana. But my main concern, I think for a while now we've known that defense is an issue. My main concern is that who is Ghana's striker? I know on paper you've called a lot of strikers, but as I always say, Jordan Ayew is not a striker. Inaki Williams is not a striker. Out of four games this season, he's only started one as a striker. The rest have been on the right wing. Antoine Semenyo, the whole of this season, even in the absence of Dominic Solanke, has started as a winger. Brandon Thomas Asante has started two games for Coventry, one as a striker, one as a winger. A couple of games he came on, he played as a winger because there's Ellis Sims who plays as the number nine at Coventry.
Yeah.
Which other striker do you have?
So essentially, we have
Ghana has nine and a half.
Players.
Yes, Ghana has a lot of nine and a half. Ghana doesn't have a nine.
Yeah.
And you see, the thing about mentality wise is that as a winger, you don't go in a game that you have to score.
Oh, yeah.
You go thinking that I have to do the best for my team to win. As a striker like Haaland, you go into a game thinking that I have to score. If I don't score, I failed myself, I failed my team, I failed the fans. Which player in the national team do we have at the moment that thinks like that?
Mm-hmm.
Jan was the only person who you could tell that this guy is in a game to get a goal. Yeah. And once he doesn't score, you can see the disappointment. None of these players give me that sort of impression. And I think in the long run, it would worry us. Because, you know, we are having winger slash strikers playing up front. And I think it confuses the coach more. Because Semenyo, Inaki, where do you guys want to play? Yeah. Remember, your club side is where you play 80% of your football in the year. So if you come national team, you are playing 2-3 games. They have to play you in where you are playing because you are used to that.
Yeah.
Mentally, that's where you know, your mental space, you are more used to playing in the wing position. All of a sudden, when you come and play in a strike role, it's difficult because one, your club is not playing you there, and two, you're not used to that role with your teammates. As a striker, you need that synergy, that chemistry, and we just don't have that. And I think that's the big concern for me, that all of our strikers want to be wingers, and then we have plenty wingers, plenty. Okay. Even the wingers that we've called, not all of them will get some to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the way forward is, but it's just a concern that I have.
Mm,
all
right. That is why that is why there was Afenajan, but he decided to
That's true.
Or we can bring Edin Ketia. Jamaica wants him though.
Is he ready to play?
Either he chooses Patois or Ghana.
All right, that's it. Yeah.
That guy has a proper Ghanaian father, but then he wants to play for Blaster.
Can you imagine?
Ah.
He's unveiling, you saw his father's dressing.
Yeah.
Typical Ghana.
But Kelvin, my worry is the defense, because you haven't forgotten the fact that Atizigi is our first choice, and he's been decent.
Ziggy has always been.
Ziggy has always been decent, but we see the real Ziggy in the Blasters. The real Ziggy. Ziggy. But still our first choice. But the defense, I'm worried the defense, because the fact that we considered three, even when you can say our first choice center back pairing, Salisu, Jiku, were available. We considered three again, Carr. And don't forget that we are going into this game also without Gideon Mensah. So we are going to play the.
You play Tariq as a left back, or Ali Kisida as a left back.
I just feel you play Ebenezer 9.
But
he's so inexperienced also.
He's already tried Tariq or Ali Doe.
Wait on that, but Ali, you let Efsen finish
Ali
his point.
No, I'm just highlighting when our defensive issues going into this game. I just feel it's going to be difficult. If Angola find their rhythm, they play very well, they play like they played at the AFCON with Mabululu up top, I just feel they have a goal. They have a goal in Kumasi. They can score a goal in Kumasi because our defensive issues doesn't look good. Chiku going out. But Jonas Ajay coming in, I just feel that's plaudits to the technical team, because I looked at the player and he's very good. He's very good on the ball with his aerial threat and everything. He's very good also. And I think this season for Barcelona, he's played 6 games. He hasn't missed a game this season. So that's some good scouting for the technical team. But just for, you have to be wary. I don't think it's a done deal for Ghana, mm-hmm. especially against Angola. For Niger, it's a done deal, because playing in Morocco, you can be assured of a good pitch that the players are always talking about. So a good pitch can also help us play a free-flowing football, as we always wish, and get a win.
But
6 points is a max. It's a must.
Yeah. For
because we can't take anything for granted.
Oh, AFCON qualifiers can afford to drop a couple of
But again, there's still some worry too. Who is Patty's partner now in midfield?
Ashmeru is back.
Ashmeru is back in the team.
So Pate can play the holding. Ashmeru play the.
There's still Elisha also too.
Does Pate like holding?
There's still Elisha.
He doesn't like it then.
No, I think Pate would hold in a possession based system, mm-hmm. where you don't have to defend so much.
Yeah.
If you push your position up forward and you squeeze them, that's fine. But Ghana won't play like that.
Yeah, so
would concede a lot of transitions.
Yeah, so Pate won't hold. That's the thing. So who
is going to play Elisha, Usu, and Pate?
I think probably play Elisha.
Because Ashmeru has to start.
Okay.
No.
So wait, Bill. No. Now, just these are the midfield options. Give us the midfield options
to take the ball. Mm-hmm. That's something we don't want to see happening, because the moment Kudus drift deep and he loses the ball, then there's a problem. We also against Central African Republic, he lost the ball a couple of times and it all resulted in Ghana conceding. So I just feel Ashmeru should be starting, and Ashmeru carrying the ball forward and linking up very well.
I don't think we need Pate further up if Kudus plays in the 10. I saw the vision though that when we played in Kumasi, Central Africa, it was almost like a double eight of Pate, okay. and then Kudus in the middle.
True.
And then Salis was left alone. But as you said, if Kudus loves to take risks in that house space.
Yes.
So once he loses the ball, that means that he's side and side with Pate. So essentially,
we'll wait and see what Otuado has for us that is Thursday. Well, unfortunately for them, they had an accident, but according to the FA, they are very fine and they should be good enough to start preparations tomorrow. Bill, the national under 20 women's team.
Yeah.
Will be in action tomorrow.
Yeah.
Youssef Basigi, for the 7th time, the team will be looking forward to progress from the group stages, something they've never done before.
Yeah.
What are the dynamics looking like? You followed this team a bit. What do you make of this team and the potential to get into the next stage? That is the knockout stage.
I think this is probably the best chance they can have to make it out of the group. I'm saying this because there's the option of the best third place sides who can make it out of the group. That option is there. And looking at the group that they are in, Austria, New Zealand, I think it's a team that they can relatively manage and manage well. I mean, we've seen them in friendlies against Mexico. They got a draw. South Korea got a draw as well. And the squad itself, I mean, some are relatively unknown, but some we know, and we've seen how good they've been, and we saw what they could do, especially at the African Games, where they went on to win gold too. So I think they're in a very good place to qualify, but we've seen them 6 times fail, so we wouldn't put it past them that, I mean, they would get out. But again, I have high hopes for the team. Basigi is very, very good when it comes to women's football, and we've seen what he's done with local teams plus women's national teams.
Yeah.
And so I believe that he can do enough to qualify, even as one of the best third place teams, I think.
So that is it there. But have seen anything on the Black Princesses?
Have they fixed the goalkeeping department?
But they have a very good goalkeeper, Afia Menyaku.
Did she make mistakes against Nigeria in that final?
Of course, she made mistakes in that African game. I think, I don't know, but you listen to the captain, that's Stella Nyamiche, and yeah. I think the first point she raised was the weather in Colombia.
But they've been there for over a month or a month. They should acclimatize.
No, it's difficult because these are young girls. Very young.
Oh, are you just sure?
Under 20, right?
At 20 years and...
No, some of them are even... This is their first traveling experience.
What did she say about the weather?
He said that it's very cold.
Italy.
And they are getting used to it.
It's 18 degrees right now. That's AC. If you put your AC on 18...
You've traveled before. Allow those who have not traveled before to say what they are feeling.
And leave everything for him to complete his submission. Yeah.
So, Stella, I understand Stella's point very well, but I just feel... The weather shouldn't be an excuse because, as Bill said, even finishing third can get them out of the group stage. That is the point. Getting out of the group is the best thing because we need to break that barrier. We've been at the World Cup for seven consecutive times, and if the seventh attempt we can't progress from the group stage, then it's very much of a worry. Yeah, so I think Bazigi, fantastic coach. Can't take it away from him, and I hope Nora Hutla has also given him some tips to get the team out of the group stage. So yeah. I just wish them the best. And
somebody has qualified for his World Cup. You couldn't qualify for yours. You want us to to take your advice.
Oh. Mission voter, please.
Mission voter. We are going to AFCON.
We are going to AFCON.
Hutla did what's necessary. You qualify for the AFCON.
She was let down by her goalkeeper. In that Zambia game.
We qualify for the AFCON. We don't need Olympic
Games. But after seeing what happened to Zambia in the Olympic Games, it's good we stayed home.
First match, 5-0.
Two people are not correct. Well, yes, that is it there for the Black Princesses as well. You are still listening to Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. We'll be getting into some bits of the other European games, and then we look at the US Open. Two major shocks, Novak Djokovic and then Carlos Alcaraz. Well, but don't forget that if you need luck, you can find it at every point in time. For many, luck is that glorious moment when you find money in your trousers right when you are broke. For others, luck is being picked out of a crowd for a reward. For us, luck is a life-changing event, and we believe everyone deserves a shot at it. Luck is coming with prizes so exciting they will make your head spin when they do. Want to be the luckiest? All you need to do is to dial *712# and get your ticket. The more you buy, the better your chances of winning. And remember, when you hear that catchy jingle, it's your cue to pay attention. It could be your lucky day. Luck is on its way to you and your community, so stay sharp. The luckiest, luck is everywhere. Now back to European football. Efsen, FC Barcelona, what is Hansi Flick doing right that Xavi was not able to do last season?
See, we don't smile. Even when we score 7, we don't smile. FC what?
Barcelona.
That's all. I've always said that as football is very ruthless. And last season, Barcelona fans were complaining very much. Clearly, we had the talent, we had the players available, but we didn't have the right manager. And Juan Laporta could have said, okay, Xavi has done a lot for the team. He's a club legend, blah, blah, blah. Stay with him. No. He fired him. And he brought in a good manager. And look at the ball Barcelona is playing. Hansi Flick came in and he hasn't complained. He knows the financial situation of the club. No complaints. Gundogan left. Brought in the players from Barcelona Athletic. And they are playing very well. So,
continue. Their microphones are off. Don't mind anybody.
I beg you.
Don't mind anybody. Their microphones are off. So, talk.
Please.
No, leave him.
Please.
Efsen, continue. His microphone is off.
2 years ago, this guy wrote a note. Was it 2 or 3 years or 4 years ago or whatever?
Yes.
Wrote a note on social media saying he's no longer supporting Barcelona, blah, blah, blah.
They did a transfer video for him. All
stay at Chelsea in peace. Stay at Chelsea in peace. Let me enjoy my 7-up.
Okay. FC Barcelona. Oracle, I won't take you to Barcelona, but what do you think may be happening to Bayer Leverkusen? It's Alonso getting complacent.
I said it time and time again on this show that they have to lose sometime last season. They had to lose in the sense that in the league especially, just to get a grip of what their true level is. I don't think Leverkusen fans or people, you know, football enthusiasts and fans alike understood the levels that they reached last season. It's never going to happen again. It had never happened in Bundesliga history. It's something that comes around once every blue moon. And so once you've experienced it, it's good. But you want to also have a fair idea of what your average level is. Because the truth is, Leverkusen were never going to repeat this feat. Everyone knew that. But how hard were they going to fall? Were they still a title challenging team even without the momentum that they had last season that kept that unbeaten run? And I think those are some of the questions that we would have answers to this season. I thought Alonso, good coach and all of that, but momentum plays a very, very key role in some of these things. And it can make some people overstate your capacity and your quality. People can think you are super good and mistake that for when you're on a run. Because being on a run, yes, quality is needed and all of that. But there's also that stuff that you just cannot explain. Those last minute goals, they were not sustainable. But it was all in the name of momentum, keeping that unbeaten run. Now that run is no more, I think we'll find out what the true level is. And I don't think they would be able to probably challenge Bayern and other teams to the title. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at what their trajectory was before the season where they won it, that's last one, I think they finished about, they were in the bottom four when Alonso took charge, and then he managed to bring them into the top half. Yeah. And so I think they would genuinely be a top four side, but I just don't think they would be able to stay with Bayern coming in the end of the season. That's because Bayern, I think, just have more quality. They have more heritage, and also now they seem to be more stable under company as well. And with time, the curve would always flatten. So I do think Bayern would run away with this, but I don't think Leverkusen would be able to challenge them.
Do you see company surviving or excelling at FC Bayern Munich better than what we saw last season under Thomas Tuchel?
I think that's a possibility. And it's difficult to call, to be honest, but I do see the possibility, because, you know, the thing about Kompany is that he is fixed on how he wants to play, mm-hmm. and the type of players that he wants to use. And I think he had some authority in who he wants to bring in, who he wants to keep at the club. And so there's that telepathy already between himself and the ownership and the team. Tuchel, to some extent, they didn't have that. And it was almost like an internal battle that at a point became public, where you are having, you know, the owners and CEO saying stuff about Tuchel is replying to the public. It was just not healthy. And I think if company can stay away from the politics of this buying side, he already has a head start. Because the truth is, with this buying team, we don't have to do much in the Bundesliga. We just have to create a platform to ensure that 8-9 of your players have good games. And you should be able to win majority of your games. So I do think that they would improve. The big test is the Champions League. Different format, a lot more games this time around. I think that's what the real test would be, against the other European giant as well. And it wouldn't be easy, because Tuchel himself would, you know, manage to get into the last four of the competition. So that's the bar that he set for a company.
Bill, there's a big one, big things happening. Romelu Lukaku, once again, getting back to Napoli. But Antonio Conte, he managed to get, you know, that equalizer. Could there be that renaissance for Lukaku at Napoli? Are we going to see, you know, some better player? Because he seems to find his feet in the Serie A better than any other league that he's played.
And he's not, it wasn't just finding his feet there, he was finding his feet under Conte.
Okay.
And that, it seems like a match made in heaven when it comes to, you know, manager versus player pairing. We saw the very best of Lukaku during Conte's time. And Inter had Lukaku pairing with Lautaro Martinez, and they were, you know, flying. And, you know, Conte ran away with it and all of that. So I think him going back from Chelsea to the Serie A and under a coach that he knows and understands his system very, very well, I think it's helpful to him. It's the best platform for him to, you know, get back the kind of confidence that he had, you know, before going back to Chelsea, and it all went downhill from there. And so I think it was a good move for him. But the questions will be more or less about who he's replacing. That is Victor Osimhen, who we've seen being ignored totally from the squad list from the season. A very, very messy situation for someone who just won the African Football of the Year quite recently and was 8th in the Ballon d'Or rankings. It's just a very messy situation for Victor Osimhen. It doesn't look like it's going to be resolved because it's already been excluded, and so he's going to probably stay back for 6 months before getting the chance to possibly get a move. But I think the two sides were at fault. Victor Osimhen shouldn't have signed the contract extension, in my opinion. I think he should have just waited, like Mbappe's situation with Paris Saint-Germain. When he got the contract extension, he signed two with an option to extend for 1 year, and he chose to not get that option.
Yeah, sure.
And all of that. So I think he's just put himself in a bit of a pickle that he might not bounce back from.
Well, let's see. But Efson, do you think Osimhen did too much? Was he being too stubborn?
It's difficult to call because I just feel the player wanted to leave, and Napoli also didn't want to sell to Chelsea. Maybe I really don't understand what went on deadline day, because I just feel Osimhen should have left. Maybe there's still a chance for him to go to Saudi Arabia. So let's see what happens. But maybe if the player, I don't know why Napoli decided not to sell to Chelsea. Because there's no, if the, I don't know, Raf, was the money not good or something
that
like
that?
That
is my prime asset. I'm not selling it. So
I'm like, why didn't they sell to Chelsea? Because the guy was willing to move, and Mikel Obi had done all the PR job for him to go and replace Jackson also.
I think it was more of I don't think there was an issue between Chelsea and Napoli. I think they would have sorted out the figures if Osimhen had given them the green light. I think
so Osimhen didn't give the green light.
Yeah, because Chelsea are claiming that they don't want to break their wage structure, according to what we saw from reports that they pay within 150. Osimhen is looking at a range of 300,000 and above, and it's just the timing, because you know Saudi probably showed him really good money.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, then if I'm staying in Europe, then at least I have to be at this level. But
then you should go to Saudi.
No, but I don't think he wants to go to Saudi.
He's not willing to
be
to Saudi.
That's why I think a compromise had to come in, because you knew you wouldn't. And I'm sure people are acting naive. Everyone knew that he wasn't. Everyone knew that Napoli were not going to allow Osimhen to play.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people acting surprised all of a sudden? Napoli are it was clear that they wanted Osimhen wanted to leave this summer. Napoli said, okay, sure, you can leave. Now the move doesn't work out, and you expect Napoli to go back and play him. No, it doesn't work that way. It's the same thing that would have happened with Mbappe if he stayed at PSG for another. If, for instance, he was lucky his contract expired, maybe if he had like 1 year left or something like that could have also happened. Because I just think that as a player, you need to be decisive.
Mm-hmm.
I've always praised Kudus for leaving that summer right before he did. I always told, you know, these boys that it was the perfect time. Imagine he stayed at Ajax. Look at the mess that he was there. Yeah. Bergwijn, and who hears about them now? Mm. Ajax even struggled to finish top three in their own league.
Yeah.
His value would have depreciated. Teams would have moved on. You would have no longer been the hot property that everyone wants to buy, because teams just like the new fresh toy.
Okay.
And so the timing of your move is really, really important. And I just think Osimhen has missed a fantastic window.
Okay.
You had all summer. You can spare me with all the talk of blah, 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 blah. But you had 3 months to everyone knew you wanted to leave this summer.
Mm-hmm.
3 months to leave, knowing that the relationship between you and the club that you are at right now is broken. So you had to leave. And you can't come back and say that in the end you found no club and now the club doesn't want to pay you, and you are coming to make it look like someone has, you know, evil intentions for you, or you're the victim. Or it doesn't work that way. Clubs are ruthless, and players should also be ruthless when they have the chance. Yeah. And I think he should have capitalized on this and forced his way out and moved out of the club. In the end, I think, unfortunately, both of them lose out. January will probably come around. I don't know that he'll go on a loan to Turkey or Netherlands or Saudi, and then come back January, and then they sell him again to Chelsea. But whatever the case, the value would be way less.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, this is where clubs have to be smart, because there's no sense in holding a player back when you know deep down that this player wants to move on. Yeah. Ronaldo and Man U knew the right time to sell him.
Okay.
Ronaldo in Madrid knew, and they got 100 million from him. Yeah. The best clubs know when to sell their assets. Because PSG could have had 120 million for Mbappe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they decided to let him go. That's bad. You holding on doesn't make you look hard. It makes you look bad. Osimhen could have left for 100 million 2 seasons ago when he was African. But yeah, he was on top of the world. And teams were looking for strikers. Arsenal were interested. Chelsea were interested. A lot of teams were looking for strikers. And the 100 million quote was decent. Teams would have paid 80 at least. Yes.
Then well, he's off.
They chose, yeah.
Let's finally wrap up with tennis. Rico, I'm starting with you. Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz.
I don't know whether there's a link between the Olympics and the performance. Maybe someone has to do that study between the Olympics and then the US Open, because it's the most immediate Grand Slam after the Olympic Games. And yeah. I just think that the competition took a toll on both of them. For Djokovic, physically it did, because he's still recuperating from his knee injury. He's still not fully fit and had to play at the Wimbledon and then also at the Olympic Games and now the US Open. And so maybe physically his age, dealing with injury, affected him a bit. I say that because I told you this. He was very, very poor in the tournament.
Yeah, psychologically, and even in the games, you think he was there?
I don't think so. There's also that, you know, after more or less, like, he's still hungover. He's finally won the thing that he wanted, almost like Messi after the World Cup. You would want to push yourself, but he has relaxed. And I just think physically he wasn't there. I think throughout the whole of Olympics, he made just 4 double faults. And in the match that he lost, he actually made 14 double faults in one match. We've never seen that for Djokovic again. So I don't know if that's mental, but he was drained. He was just not him. And he admitted that himself. For Carlos Alcaraz, on the other hand, I just think he's also not back to his normal self after losing the Olympic Games. I think he was maybe too confident that he was going to win the gold. In the sense that Cincinnati, we saw him smashing a racket. That's uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah.
And then we saw him once again, getting knocked out of the second round of the US Open. So I don't know, the two of them, probably after effects of the Olympic Games. And it just means that we're going to have a new winner or someone who hasn't won in a while.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for the younger generation. But I just think, yeah, Senna will probably be licking his lips at this moment.
Bill, let me finish with you. Letsile Tebogo, do you see him breaking any of Wolves' records in the next, you know, meet that will be happening?
You know, Bolt's record is different level. But then again, our own Tebogo has given us hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the trajectory that he's had in the past 2 years, from the under 20 World Championships, actually winning that, to now winning the Olympics, I think he's on top of the world. And he did state that he's just 10 meters away from breaking that record. I think if he pushes himself to the limit, he might do it. The one he recently won, he even relaxed at some point and he was just looking around before he crossed the line. I think, well, it's going to be tough. It's Bolt's record is not something that, you know, he can easily get by. I mean, 90.19 for 200, it's a crazy record. But it is something that can be broken, and if anybody can break it, I think it's going to be Letsile Tebogo. I think he has the tools. He's fast enough. If he pushes himself past that 10 meter mark left, he'll be able to break it.
He will be able to break it. Well, Bilishan there giving us bets on Letsile Tebogo. But it's been a very brilliant edition here with all of us. Ori Kwampo for FSN, and then Bilishan produced by that is Prosper. And Prosper Kuzo, yes, they're Barcelona man. He's enjoying. And Emmanuel Andam, also another Barcelona fan. He nearly quit, but he's still with FC Barcelona. My name is Kelvin Owusu. And so don't forget that the Black Stars will be playing on Thursday. It's going to be mega. You can find snippets of this on 3 Sports GH from tomorrow across all the socials. The audio version of Sports Ultras is also available as a podcast on all podcast channels on Spotify, Apple Podcast and all RSS feeds. You can catch up all the previous shows there, including this one. Have a wonderful evening.